Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Last week, the Jackson County Animal Shelter put out a news release saying the place was overflowing, too many dogs for the available space at the shelter. The county asked the public and other organizations for help and quickly got it. And now shelter census is down to a manageable level. The population explosion is just the latest event in a bumpy couple of years for the shelter. Stacy Brubaker is the director of Jackson County Health and Human Services, the department responsible for the animal shelter. Stacy Brubaker is our guest on the Exchange. Welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. So let's work backward in time, starting with the most recent events. What situation did the shelter find itself in recently that led to that April 3rd news release?
Well, we've historically had a overcrowding at the shelter, at least for the last 2 years that I've been in charge of the shelter anyway. We've hovered between 80 to 90 animals, and then clear up to around 104, 107. But the week that we last press released, we had 122 animals show up at the shelter, primarily through our animal control officers and law enforcement jurisdictions. So it was just too much of a capacity for us to continue to handle. So we really needed some assistance from our community partners and the community as a whole. So that's really what prompted us to put out the press release asking for assistance.
Stacy, do you expect something of a springtime crush every year? Was this what that was, or was there something more to it?
I can't really explain why all of those came in all at once. It was out of the blue, and I think if we had been down to a manageable capacity in the first place, we wouldn't have got to that level of emergency, but they just kept coming.
When you've got 122 dogs and even 80 to 90 is a bit much. I mean, even if somebody takes them away in the first hour or so, I mean, where do you put them all in that time?
Well, we have, like I said, we have 86 total kennels. That's what the current shelter is designed for. But we have temporary shelters or carriers that we line up the halls with and put as many animals there as we can and really just try to manage the population appropriately with the space that we have.
All right, kennels in the hallways. Yeah, it sounds like when hospitals get over capacity and people are out in the hallways.
Very similar, for sure.
Did you have to euthanize any dogs because of this?
Not solely for the purpose of space. Space certainly was a considering factor, but the ones that we have put down, we did since that press release, we did put down 12. But again, it was not solely based on space. It was really those animals were either huge behavioral issues, such as biting multiple times, not just once, but multiple times, and also some behavioral or aggression issues, and then also some severe medical issues. So 12 is what we put down. It's really always a hard thing to do. Space was not the only factor in that decision.
So with the news release on April 3rd, 122 dogs, 5 days later, the story was different. What happened?
Well, we had a lot of people come to our aid, for sure. And so I think that is really what made one of the biggest differences. So even just today, we are down to 52 dogs and 2 cats. We have 1 cat available for adoption and 5 dogs available for adoption today. But we had we adopted quite a few animals since that press release went out. We had 35 dogs that have been adopted, 3 cats. And then we did get response from our local rescues and the Southern Oregon Humane Society took 8 dogs. Sanctuary One took a dog. We have a Harmony New Beginnings Animal Rescue took 5 dogs. We did get, POTUS did take 2 dogs. And then we also, Oregon Humane Society came down and they took 23 dogs. And that was really the one that really helped lower those numbers. So
wow.
We transferred a total of 39 dogs.
So 52 now in the shelter versus 122. That's a huge change.
Yeah, it's the lowest we've been for quite a while. And it's giving the staff a little bit of breather time to really be able to catch up and feel like we are have an opportunity to do what we need to do for the animals. So it's a good breather. It won't last, but it's good for now. And again, we've really appreciated the support of our community partners and just community members coming in and adopting these animals, which is really where we want them to be.
Stacy Brubaker is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the Health and Human Services Director for Jackson County. Her department oversees the Jackson County Animal Shelter, which had quite a crush of late, as you're hearing. If you'd like to join us with your comments or questions, send those to jx@jeffnet.org. You mentioned there are 52 dogs and 5 are up for adoption. What's the story on the other 47?
No, there's 52 dogs, 5 are up for adoption. It's a very... probably answer is variable, but many of them are still waiting for spays and neuters. Those continue to be hard pressed appointments to get, and that's true for across the country, not just for Jackson County, but that certainly does feed into that. And we have some animals that are probably that are still under observation, trying to determine what they might need. Maybe they need some additional behavioral services that help them be a little bit more socialized and prepared for adoption. So they go through a behavioral assessment to determine when they're ready to move into the adoption space. So it's probably hodgepodge of all of those things.
Mm-hmm. Are you still waiving adoption fees, Stacy?
Yes, till the 14th.
14th, okay. And what are those fees normally?
Oh, that is a very good question. I don't know. I should know that, but I don't know.
Let me see if I can find that on the website while we talk here. But yeah. But you lose some income, I'm sure, through the adoption waivers, and that is something of an issue for the animal division for the county, isn't it?
It is, but I think that that's one of those places where you have to decide whether you want these animals to be able to move out and be able to move them on to what's next for them. The shelter isn't a good place for animals to be. It's stressful. It's not, if they have behavioral issues, they potentially are adding to those issues the longer they stay. So our goal really is to be able to make that turnaround really quickly. And yes, it does lose us income, but again, our primary concern is the care of the animals.
Okay, I did call it up in front of me. Adult dog adoption fees generally $180. Puppy adoptions under 6 months, $250. So this is it's a bit of a savings if somebody comes through and does it. They do have to get a license though.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. And again, because we really believe in wanting to manage the population, we do spay and neuter first. And so that is some of that fee is to recoup that cost as well.
Right. So let's talk about cost and some of the structural issues you have at facing the animal shelter and what that has produced, like not taking in most cats anymore. The laws do require dog sheltering, but not cats. Is that right?
Right. Again, that has really been about a resource issue because we have had so many dogs that we've really needed to be able to do our resource. There's no statutory requirement that the county do anything with cats. We do and historically have provided services for cats. We think it's the right thing to do. But because of space problems and being able to really have the resources we need, we've needed to focus those on the dogs. So... at this point, cats have not been something we have been taking in unless they are based on evidence or some type of a criminal case, then we will hold them for now.
I can't imagine there's too many of those, though.
You'd be surprised.
Really?
Huh. Yeah.
I have to pursue that some other time. But so let's talk about other things that are issues for the animal shelter. Again, Stacy Brubaker is our guest, the director of Jackson County Health and Human Services, which oversees the animal shelter. I should point out, too, there is a new shelter manager, Jody Sherry, who apparently, I was just reading today in the Rogue Valley Times, took the job in part because of the many challenges there.
Yeah, she has hit the ground running. She identifies herself as a problem solver. And again, our hope in hiring her is that she can really kind of move us forward now that we hopefully are through some of the challenges that we were facing as far as getting the structure and the staffing patterns and those kind of things that we needed for her to really be able to jump in and continue to move the program forward.
Now, there was a period of criticism last year from Friends of the Animal Shelter, which even went to the extent of modifying its name to Friends of the Animals. Has that relationship improved somewhat?
I think that it has, and we certainly work on that every day. I think that we knew going in that these were going to be difficult conversations and change is hard. I do really appreciate what FOTUS has done historically, and I do think the changes that they've made or decided to make with their organization ultimately benefit the community in a way of being able to really hopefully get a little bit more upstream than we can get and prevent animals from coming to the shelter in the first place. And we really look for opportunities to continue to partner with them as we go forward and appreciate their volunteers when they're in the shelter and walking the dogs and doing some of those tasks that they do for us. So I think it's come a long way, and I hope it continues to improve.
We got an email from Linda who wants you to mention the volunteers, which you just did. Remember, they work for free. How many volunteers altogether do you have coming through there?
You know, that would really be a question for FOTUS. A lot of it is based on how many animals we have that need walking that day. FOTUS has a volunteer coordinator who is housed there, and she really manages that flow of volunteers coming and going.
So give us the very wide view now, if you would, Stacy. I mean, what are the facility needs for the animal shelter in space, in dollars, in whatever measurement you use? It seems like what you have now is inadequate to the size of the job you have.
Yeah, I'm sure that many of the listeners have heard or read in the paper about our efforts to, we've been going from city to city talking about wanting to create an animal service district to be able to try to get some money to build a new shelter. That shelter that we currently operate out of, it was built in 1961, and like we said, it houses 86 animals, and we know that the need is higher for that. Our population has grown a lot since that time. And it's really just not state-of-the-art. It's really dilapidated and doesn't have a lot of the features that people now know are best practices for shelters and for the animals that reside there. So really trying to get in front of the cities and the municipalities just for them to, we're asking them to approve putting it on the ballot for their constituents to be able to decide whether they would like to move forward with a service district, which would be 15 cents per 1,000 of property value.
All right. So this would make its own funding source, sort of like what the libraries had done in recent years.
Correct. But statute does allow us to do a specific animal services district.
If that gets on the ballot, if it passes, would you restore some services that have been lost, like cats? Or, I mean, what's the discussion there about what you'd be able to provide?
Yeah, I think that's one of the pieces that the voters will have to decide. I think if it passes, that really opens up opportunities for us to be able to continue and expand and offer services like for cats. If it were to either not make it on the ballot or not pass on the ballot, then that leaves us to make some difficult decisions, which would potentially be that we don't serve cats at all. We provide a lot of other services that we don't currently charge for that we would need to kind of figure out whether we continue to provide those or if we needed to charge fees for those. So I think that that's going to be something we're going to have to work out to see where this goes and. Hopefully, ultimately, the voters will decide what's next.
Is the plan for November of this year?
That's what we're hoping, yep.
Okay. Well, so for now, what can people do to keep the shelter from overflowing once again? You got a great public response when you put that release out, but you probably want to see some continued efforts here.
Yeah, I think that there's quite a few things that the community as a whole can do. One is really that they need to get their dogs licensed and microchipped so that if their dog does get lost, that's the first thing we do is look for a microchip to be able to get that dog home. So that would be one thing, being ensuring that your gates and your fences are secure so that they don't get out. And that's not just about them getting lost, it's about them getting hit by a car or lots of other things that can happen to animals. So really just working to be responsible pet owners and doing the right thing.
And another email as we close about don't forget to spay and neuter your pets so that make sure there aren't many new pets running around out there. Stacy Brubaker, Department Director, Jackson County Health and Human Services. Thanks for joining us to talk about the animal shelter.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
You bet. This is the Jefferson Exchange, or this was the Jefferson Exchange. That'll do it for today's show. We are online at jeffexchange.org. All of our interviews end up there and end on podcasting sites, Spotify and Apple among them. Angela Decker, JPR News, is our senior producer. Kelly Zimmerman, our assistant producer. Zach Beagle at the controls today. Maxwell and Terry Longshore composed our theme music. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.